We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Bucks won a f***ing NBA championship.
Yeah!
What? What?
He tries to take a pulse, babe.
Watching that basketball game, like, caused health problems for me.
Boogie hates racism and Chris Paul. And who cannot get on board with that platform?
If I've learned a lot, this, I'm not going to say it. That sounds too
bad.
No.
The Bucks do win it all. Pat Connaughton's numbers should be in the rafters. Hey there. Welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network and the Eurostep Podcast Network. I am one of your hosts, Ty Windisch. I am joined, as always, by the frizzy Rohan Kadi. Humidity taking a toll on my guy. In his words, not in my words. I think you look great, Rohan. How's it going?
Thank you. Doing well outside of the humidity. Yeah. You know, just a rainy, gloomy day. But yeah, the Bucks season, as we talked about last night, is over. It's over. But I think it's a good time to not necessarily delve right back into off-season content. We covered a lot of that stuff last week. The good thing about off-season pods is it's going to be evergreen content, so you can go back and listen to that if you want to look at some free agency decisions, what's going to happen this summer. We took a preliminary look at that. But today, we're going to look back at the Bucks regular season. And just, we're going to go through the highs, we're going to go through the lows. I gave Ty a homework assignment in that we both had to pick three good moments, three bad moments from the Bucks season, and we were going to talk about them on the pod. But first off, make sure you're subscribed wherever you're listening, whether that's your podcast platform of choice, whether it's your YouTube. Make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you leave a like or your five-star rating wherever you can. Rate, review, comment, whatever you want to do. Make sure you do that. Check out gspnstore.com. And again, thank you. Just thank you to everyone who's been here along for the ride throughout this Bucks season. It's going to continue to go through off-season content with us as we prepare for the next Bucks season. Yeah. Just we appreciate all of you. Shout out to Dan, who works with my sister. Shout out to you. You're good fan.
Shout out to Dan. Dan is goated. Yeah, we have almost a month until the draft, so we will do more draft content this year. Last year, there was just truly no time because of the extra compressed offseason, plus the Bucks going a couple rounds deeper. So there's going to be plenty of time to cover the draft, free agency, all the offseason stuff. The only news we'll probably get, substantial news, is player option stuff before then. And, you know, I guess we'll get a TA bomb at some point. I think the rest of the decisions are going to be pretty obvious for Bucks players who do have those options. But, and potentially a Chris Middleton extension, which obviously that would be a big old emergency pod with the whole crew if when that happens this offseason. But let's look back. Like I just mentioned, and you mentioned as well, we have plenty of time to talk offseason, and we will. We're going to be deep in there when we're not talking Brewers baseball on Cruising for a Bruising. Shout out Tyrone Taylor. Nice little three-run dinger last night. Excited to tap more into that season as well. Go check out Cruising for a Bruising on your pod platform of choice if you have not already. For Adam, Andrew, and us, I was on Cruising for a Bruising couple episodes ago. Rohan's debut.
I'm the only one who hasn't done it yet.
Yeah, your debut's coming at some point. You're our top prospect. You're down in AAA, and we're manipulating your service time because you're the young one. So that's why, Rohan. So sorry, But, you know, tight purse strings here at GSPN. And we need to make sure we get you in arbitration for as long as possible. So sorry about that, but, you know, that's the biz.
It is the biz indeed. Let's get to these lists. We're going to start with, are we going to start with good?
These are our highlights and lowlights of the 21-22 Bucks regular season. So we're not doing playoffs. If people really like this, we could probably do a similar concept for playoffs. So let us know on Twitter, in the Discord, wherever you contact us. People have a lot of ways. EurostepPod@gmail.com, at Eurostep Podcast on Twitter, our Twitter accounts, whatever it may be. But let us know if you really want highlights and lowlights of the 22 playoffs. We can do that. But this is regular season because we're going to be the change we want to see in the world. Everyone talks about, oh, no one cares about the regular season. It's such a shame the regular season is undervalued. Let's talk about it. Let's dive into the 82 games the Bucks played before this playoff run and not forget it because it was quite a journey, Rohan.
It really was. Ty, I'm going to be gracious, give you first pick. And I have a sneaky feeling I know what this is.
Yeah, I think let's get probably the most obvious one out of the way first. When DeMarcus Boogie, no, Giannis passing Kareem. I think Giannis passing Kareem has to be number one on this list. Giannis becomes the Milwaukee Bucks all-time leader in points scored. Took him a little bit longer than it took Kareem, but still an impressive as hell accomplishment for Giannis, strengthening the case that I think we had made several months previous that he is the greatest Buck in franchise history. Now, in addition to having as many rings as any other Bucks player in Milwaukee, one in at least, he also has scored more than any other Bucks player. I think something that we always hoped would happen, but between Giannis just not developing to that level of player or leaving, something that was never certain to happen. So really such a cool thing to see, and I'm glad at the time we really appreciated the magnitude of that live on playback, actually.
Yeah, it was live on playback, and just the manner in which it was done. A step back three to send the game to overtime? Are you kidding me? Against Kevin Durant and the Nets? My goodness, at the time, that was incredible. That was during that week where the previous game, Giannis had a game-winning block against Joel Embiid to seal that game. That was the two-game like week stretch where it's like, oh my God, is Giannis going to win MVP this season?
So
spoiler, he didn't end up winning.
He didn't. I'm going to break our format already. That week was also one of my – I know it's the moments within the week. But I do think that week, in addition to Giannis's MVP case, this is when I remember that week. I was like, oh, maybe he should win it after all. I mean, I think a lot of the season was kind of meh overall for the Bucks, but that week, I think both you go, Giannis could win MVP because he just went head-to-head and beat two of the other finalists. And, well, KD, I don't think ended up finishing top five, but he's still Kevin Durant, right? And it felt like, okay, the Bucks can certainly go win a championship as well, which we were never all the way out. But there were a lot of doubts. It was a long up and down season. So I guess you'll have to go with two of your good, although I'm guessing at least one of those overlaps.
We'll go to a bad first.
Okay. Those are my two of my goods. Are that week in general, that Sixers followed by that Nets win was epic. And then, of course, the cherry on top of that week was Giannis breaking the Bucks scoring title record.
Yeah, we also got an all-time Kevin Harlan call, which is now a part of the Win in Six intro. Shout out to Win in Six.
Hell yeah.
Make sure they just did a massive mailbag. Go listen to that. It's on the feed. It's a classic Win in Six. But just that moment, just incredible. Like you said, that week, just absolutely incredible. Like, we're doing this exercise to really put some value on the regular season. But that the regular season is where you get these moments, like just these stretches of time. I know you can get them in the playoffs, but it's a lot less common because guys are just going 150%. It's all dragged out. It becomes just a slugfest, as we're seeing in these NBA playoffs. You just get these stretches of absolute pure dominance. And when you have one of the greatest players of all time in Giannis Antetokounmpo, you get to witness these moments, these stretches of time where it's just like, what on earth are we watching? Are we actually, like, we are so lucky to be able to witness this in real time. We don't need to go back and say, like, oh my goodness, this week where Hakeem Olajuwon was doing this, like, oh, go back, find the tape, check the tape. We're witnessing this in real time. We are witnesses of greatness in the moment. And I think that's something we need to appreciate.
Couldn't agree more. It really is epic. And I think Giannis being a common denominator on a lot of our highlights would not be a big surprise.
No. It's also something that we can shoehorn in here that is a little bit of news. Giannis, first team All-NBA, unanimous first team All-NBA this season. First player in NBA history to be unanimous first team All-NBA for four consecutive seasons. That's ridiculous. That's it ridiculous. Is. 4 years in a row, every single voter 100 out of 100 said, yeah, this guy is one of the top two, like five players in the world, like in the league.
Yeah. One of the top two Without forwards. Without a doubt. One of the top two forwards in a league that features Kevin Durant, LeBron James, you know, now Tatum is first team. Kawhi Leonard, although I don't know how many of those teams he's been on because of the injuries, but at least a couple over 4 years.
I mean,
years.
He just missed this season.
Yeah, true. It always feels like longer because he missed part of last playoffs too. But Paul George, who's been, I think, either first or second team forward, like some elite talent. And we're not talking about those guys are clearly better or have had better seasons than Giannis. But the fact that we've seen some dumbass votes and ballots from these voters. The fact that 400 out of 400 times the last 4 years, everybody said, yeah, no, I mean, those guys were great, but it's who's going to be next to Giannis as a forward, not who's, you know, going to supplant him. And honestly, you can throw in Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid, who I think were both eligible at forward as well. Even the voters who tried to squeeze them both on the first team, they too were like, well, Giannis still has to be there. Like, it's pretty incredible. And I'm surprised it's never happened. Certainly it should have with LeBron at some point. I mean, that's pretty silly that it never did. But I think it does speak to Giannis's dominance and consistency. I think his work on both ends of the floor, all of it, like he is the greatest, the best player in the league right now.
Yeah. And you said, you mentioned, it's not like we're saying all of those players that we mentioned are better than Giannis. We're not saying that. We're saying that it's clear that Giannis has been better.
Yeah, pretty apparent
to the
voters.
It's undoubtedly better.
They should switch the format, though.
Sure, he's still unanimous.
No, I know. Yeah, it doesn't have anything to do with that. But it's silly that Joel Embiid has been second team in the last 2 years.
Embiid did not win MVP, didn't even get first seed.
But he was he second in MVP the last 2 years?
Yeah.
And has to be a second team All-NBA guy because of the NBA positions are so murky. Like, you look at the guard forward switch, like, Chris should have been all NBA, and he's not because of the way they do positions. Like, he had the votes. No, it was 2 years ago.
Well, yeah, like, not this past season, season before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Just to make that clear, we're not saying Chris should have been all NBA this year.
No, not this year. He was an all-star, though. But yeah, it's just silly the way they do it. Like, I don't know. People feel strongly both ways for whatever reason. But the team doesn't have to play a game. And I actually think this is not as bad as a couple years ago, more than a couple now, I'm old, when like DeAndre Jordan is an all-NBA player because we need three centers. Like, at least now the league is better off on centers. So I don't think we'll have that happening anytime soon. But
just the third team center, was it Gobert?
It was Gobert or Towns. I don't remember which.
Oh, I think it was Towns. It was Towns.
I think it was Towns, yeah. It's just silly to me that players get bumped down or left off entirely because we need six forwards, six guards, and three centers when, you know, some of the, like, the guys who are eligible at guard and forward, like, those two positions are very murky now. I mean, I think Jimmy Butler has made it as a guard recent years. He plays power forward, but he handles the ball. Like, that's guard stuff. I just don't know why.
I agree. Just do tiers. It's basically tiers of best players in the league. That's how the league frames it.
Yeah.
So you might as well vote it like that.
Yeah.
Like, no disrespect to Devin Booker, but come on.
Yeah, I know. It looks really bad now, considering, like, even the is it him and Luka are first team and then Steph is second team?
Luka's fine.
Yeah, Luka's fine. But Well, I think we're all feeling a little silly that Steph was not viewed a little higher coming into the playoffs now.
I also think everyone's feeling a little silly that Giannis was an MVP.
Maybe. I don't know if people care about that.
I saw a lot of the discourse. I mean, everyone was saying, like, not everyone, obviously, but a lot of the discourse was like, yeah, Giannis is that. He's the guy.
Yeah. And that'd be louder, I think, if they were still going. But
oh, well, alas. That was life. Yeah.
Okay. So it was Giannis passing Kareem one of your highlights?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So now low light. So how about you go first? Because I already burned through two of mine.
Okay. I don't know if this is on your list or not. But it is December 2nd, 2021. It is the day that it was announced that Brooke Lopez had back surgery.
It was my number one. Yeah, Brooke being ruled out for long. I just put out for a long time. I didn't pull up the date or the numbers, but man, that was a deflating feeling.
It was just after only playing in game one against the Nets and then listing him out with back soreness the rest of the way. Just a random drop. Oh, yeah, by the way, he had back surgery, and there's no timeline. There's no type of back surgery. This is what, like, I've had multiple meltdowns about this. This made me lose complete faith in the Bucks organization in terms of transparency. It gave me no faith.
Don't forget the Shams report.
Yeah, the Shams report. Brooke Lopez was on there saying he has a target.
I feel great.
Yeah, I feel great. I'm ready to play. I have a target date in mind. Nope, back surgery.
Camera cuts or internet cuts for a second. Like, no, Brooke, no.
It just, like, it eroded away any trust I had in the Bucks' ability to actually give relevant and true information.
And looking back, I do think that they really did not know for a long time. But just say that. Like, just say, like, we're evaluating him. We hope to bring him back soon. Like, we're not going to do surgery at this time, early on. Instead of, it just felt like unnecessary subterfuge. I don't know what exactly they gained from doing it that way.
I don't know, Ty. I had a lot of people in my mentions telling me it's a competitive advantage.
Yeah. Yeah, because teams are going to structure their whole year differently. It's very silly.
I don't know. It's Ty. You never know. If the Bucks are listing their best center available or as questionable, he might play. So we have to game plan. So if he might play. But the thing is, if he's not, the Bucks are worse. So we're actually prepared better.
I think my brain just broke. I don't want to think about the subterfuge anymore, but that was a brutal moment for sure.
It was just, we were wondering about this team in terms of, oh my God, is Brooke going to be back? Is he ever going to actually regain his form? Spoiler alert. Everyone knows this. He did regain his form. He was great. It was awesome. It was great to see Brooke Lopez back and contributing in a big way. He made a full recovery. He seemed like he was actually bouncier than he usually was. Than he was before. It all worked out in the end, but just that, the agony of those months of being like, okay, what's actually going on with Brooke Lopez?
Yeah.
He's been out with soreness, which is day to day for months now. And now he just had ambiguous back surgery and has no timeline for returning.
Yeah. I was going to say.
The only reporting we had was Zach Lowe saying that there's quiet optimism within the Bucks organization that he'll return before the regular season. And this is in December. And we're just like, what? What is happening here?
I was going to say, not knowing sucked, but I think hearing the news was worse. Because if he didn't get back, which was certainly on the table at his age, his size, having a back surgery, everything is just so much worse, right? And we saw they got Ibaka for insurance. Didn't work out super well. So it was really a precarious moment of like, oh, is this season just kind of a waste now? And some of the regular season did feel that way because of this, I think. But thankfully, he was able to get back. And shout out to Brooke for the speedy recovery.
Yeah. Shout out to Bobby Portis as well for filling in.
Yeah.
Basically the entire regular season.
Bobby Buckets, Bobby Champ. Should I do a low light now?
Yes.
I'm going to stick with the big guys. I'm going to go with, and we did an emergency pod for this one, DeMarcus Cousins getting waived. I joked about Boogie before.
This is on my list.
They're good. It belongs there. Because truly, you know, and there's still people now who will reply saying, it wouldn't have mattered in the playoffs. Who cares? It would have mattered in the regular season. It would have made the Bucks better. Because clearly, Boogie was a very helpful impact, especially with Brooke out. And they were really in the wilderness without him at center between waving him and then adding Brooke. I mean, Greg Monroe had a couple games. Yeah. Love Greg Monroe.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
Love Greg Monroe. But Boogie, I think, added more on maybe on both ends, certainly offensively, where Greg is just really lost his touch there when he started to focus on defense and cut some weight. But it was just such a frustrating move because there was no need. They end up opening roster spots later anyway. They would have been able to make whatever move. And Boogie was just good and he was fun. And the Bucks needed that. And it was a huge lift having him on the team. And have him cut just really for quote unquote flexibility that is really just cost savings was very, very frustrating. And I think, you know, it's good that they were able to later get Rajon Tucker on the roster or whatever else might have not happened had they kept Boogie. But at the same time, like, there would have been ways to figure that out anyway. And it's a real bummer that he was not able to finish the season with the Bucks after having just some truly awesome moments on the team. Like, it was so frustrating at the time, and still I think now. So even if, and I don't think he would have made a difference in the playoffs for Milwaukee either, but it would have been nice to have him for in the meantime. I don't get why people say that doesn't matter. Like, maybe you didn't watch those games. We did, and I would have rather seen Boogie in a lot of them than the guys we had to see play a ton of minutes.
We did a playback during that game because he was waived a minute after, like, the buzzer sounded on Bucks as they lost to the Raptors on January 5th, I believe it was. And it was just, like you said, we did an emergency pod on it because it was just such a wild thing. It was a Wednesday. The guarantee date was that Friday, the 7th. And we immediately were just like, this is trash. This is not a good move. And just think about it. Look at what Boogie ended up doing in Denver. He was good. He was good in Denver for his role. He even had some shine in the playoffs, Ty. Like, come on. What are we doing here? Like, I get the Serge Ibaka trade did not work from a player perspective. I know they got picks. Before you yell at me, they did get second round picks. Serge Ibaka, that trade did not work at all.
I'm not. I think it was a bad trade. It didn't make any of my lists. It didn't work out. I just don't think it was a disaster. I don't think it mattered that much. But no, it was not a good trade.
No. Like, if you just keep Boogie and then maybe go and get someone else for Dante, because I feel like they went and got Serge because they were unsure about Brook Lopez. So just keep DeMarcus, who was good for you. Like, you have to pay Serge Ibaka anyway. Like, that money is still coming out of your payroll. Like, I just, it baffles me.
Yeah, it was eminently frustrating. His production in the regular season was basically the same with the Nuggets and Bucks. Just a useful player to have around. And I think I'm pulling it up now, but if I remember right, he had a pretty big impact on the Bucks net rating when he was on the court. NBA stats taking a little while. The Bucks were plus 7.7 with Boogie on this regular season. To put it in context, the only three guys who actually played a lot who had a bigger impact were Giannis, Drew, and George Hill. Javon Delorier, plus 57 net rating. Maybe find a spot for him next year. His 3 minutes were really dominant. But Boogie was just really good and helpful. And I think, you know, it was very frustrating.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Yeah, it just... And like when your general manager has put out a statement as soon as they make the move, you know it's bad.
Yeah,
you know it's bad. And what did he say? Like, this is hopefully this doesn't prevent us from
bringing the road back to Marcus down the road.
Let me pull it up. We wouldn't have been able to get through this difficult stretch of the season as successfully as we did without DeMarcus. At the end of the day, we made a strategic decision to have an open roster spot, but there's nothing that would prevent us from partnering with DeMarcus again down the road. He was so good for us, and hopefully we helped him too.
They did help him. I will give him that. I don't know if he gets that nugget spot because nobody was calling him before his time with the Bucks, and clearly he was quite good.
He did work out with the Nuggets before he worked out with the Bucks.
Fair point. But I think it's fair to think that his run with the Bucks maybe pushed Denver over the edge because they didn't have a roster spot when they first worked him out.
That's fair.
Honestly, I think you mentioned this on one of our other pods. Would be a great backup center option, especially if they don't draft a center, which I would like them to draft a center. But if there's someone better at the wings or a guard who's there at that pick, or let's be serious, if they trade that pick, Boogie would be a nice backup center option. He's production, and there's value in that off the bench, even if you recognize he's not going to be logging 30 minutes in the playoffs or whatever.
Exactly. Like, there's value in just being able to get through the regular season.
Also, Philly ever does not dodge the Bucks, Boogie was pretty good against Embiid when he was a Buck this season.
If Philly ever figures out what they're doing as an organization.
Never. They never will.
That's fair. okay, let's go. We each have one. No, I have two goods remaining.
Yeah, so you should share a good. I have one good and one bad remaining.
Okay. Mine is March 2nd, 2022. Jrue Holiday hits a game winner against the Miami Heat.
Oh, nice.
We did a pod after that one as well. it was, as I was going through this, I didn't remember this moment off the top of my head when I was trying to formulate this list, but it had very similar parallels to game 5 against Boston. Ty, do you know how much they were down in the fourth quarter of that game?
I remember it was an insane comeback. So that's why we did the emergency.
It was 14.
Pod.
It was the exact 14. Same number as they were in game 5 against the Celtics. And while Jrue Holiday does it on the offensive end this time, he did it on the defensive end in the playoffs in terms of sealing the game. But this was the moment where it was a jump ball. The Heat really choked that game away. They really did. There was a jump ball because Giannis tied up Jimmy off an inbounds. Giannis wins the jump ball with like 8 seconds left or something. Jrue Holiday just takes it down the court, weight rooms Gabe Vincent, and just lays it in right over Bam. And it was just such a great moment. Even before Tyler Hero was able to chuck up a half-court shot, you could hear Marcus Johnson saying, snatching victory from the jaws of defeat, because he was like, oh my God, they actually did it. They actually won this game. It was a moment where it felt like the big three showcased themselves at their finest. Jrue had 25 points in that game. Chris had 26. Giannis had 28. All three of them were scoring above 25 points in that game. And it was during a stretch where it's like, oh my God, are the Bucks okay? Are they okay? Like, what exactly are we doing here? Because I mean, they had beat the Charlotte. It was the second game after the All-Star break, and the two games before the All-Star break, they choked the lead against Philly. They choked the lead against Brooklyn, and then sure, they beat the Hornets by 24, but who cares? Then it's facing a Miami team where you're down big in the fourth quarter, but they showed their championship medal off in that game and were able to pull it out. And it was just a game where you felt like, oh my God, this team is ready.
That's a great one. And I love too, this is necessary to think about right now, especially because we haven't seen it in a while. A game, as you mentioned, where the Bucks' big three all felt like true stars. They all got to the line at least 6 times. Jrue and Chris were perfect. Giannis, I think, was 8 for 11. They were all scoring. Jrue had a double-double with like 11 assists too. It's just an awesome performance from all three of those guys. And, you know, that trio that just led the Bucks to a title. And you know what I realized the other day? I think it's the KG Pierce Celtics always talk about they never lost a series when they were healthy. Bucks haven't lost a series when Chris, Giannis, and Jrue are all healthy. So The Bucks now have their own version of that annoying thing.
Oh, God. I don't want the Bucks to be the 08 Celtics, though.
No, they won't. No one would talk about the Bucks title ever again if they didn't have to outside of us. So I don't think, including the guys on the team, I don't think Giannis will ever be as sad as Paul Pierce is. I don't think that's possible. Old slurms, Paul Pierce, McKenzie. But, yeah, I like that one. That's a fun one.
I mean, it's just like, it's a moment. Well, obviously game winners are, you know, just hype all around, but it's just felt like a coming together moment where it's like, this team can go win the title again. They didn't, spoiler alert.
No.
But again, things happen.
Still haven't lost a series when all three are healthy. Okay, so I have one highlight, one low light. You have the same?
Yes.
How should we do this? Should we switch it up and get the low lights out of the way to finish on highlights, or should we keep it the same?
Let's go to lowlights and get those out of the way.
Okay. Do you want to go or do you want me to go?
I'll go. I sort of cheated on this one. It's not a moment at all.
Oh, okay. Mine is. So we don't have the same for this one.
Cool. Mine's Jordan Wara's season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I hadn't really thought of that, but that fits.
I was so high on him coming into the regular season, like after last offseason, especially after his time with the Olympic team in Nigeria. I was just like, man, there's a promise of another shot creator on this team. And he had his chances during the first half of the regular season. Guys were in and out of the lineup. He was getting consistent playing time. He was able to make an impact. He just couldn't. He didn't. He, whatever offensive juice was there, was sort of come and go. Defense wasn't there. Mindfulness wasn't there. He was making stupid mistakes. And it was just like, man, I thought the Bucks actually had a chance at a decent prospect here, and now it's all turning to garbage again. And he's not going to be on the team next year.
No. And he, if you think back, and I know we're focusing regular season, but the idealized version of Wara is exactly what the Bucks needed against Boston. And, you know, it's the same. It's not just on him, obviously. Like, they also needed Grayson and Bobby to play to their offensive standards, which they didn't. But if you do have another option, a guy with a quicker trigger and I think even more proclivity to get hot via shot making than either of those guys, at least at times we saw that from Jordan Wara, that would have been hugely helpful. But as you say, despite having a ton of – this was the perfect season for a role player to break into the Bucks. I mean, there were so many chances for guys – a young, unproven player. Unfortunately, it didn't really work out for Javon Carter. We'll see how next year goes, at least playoffs-wise. I mean, I think regular season-wise, he looked great. But, yeah, that was certainly a disappointment. And, yeah, it probably will mark the end of Jordan Wara's Bucks tenure.
Where do you think he goes next year? My money's on Houston.
I actually wonder if it'll be OKC. I know they have too many guys and picks already. I assume there's going to be some moves happening. But they need guys who score. I feel like so many of their prospects are just not big-time scorers. We'll see who they draft. But, like, these guys like Bazley and even Paku, Josh Giddey, like, I just feel like they need more points around Shea. And I think he could actually be a pretty fun. Lou Dort kind of scores, but certainly more of a defensive-minded player. I think he'd be actually pretty fun out there.
He would be. That's a good shot. Yeah. I think he'd be fun there. I just say Houston because that's where Bucks go to die.
Yeah. Detroit?
No, it's not Detroit anymore.
Well, that's why it shifts. So maybe this time it'll be OKC. I mean, we saw DJ Wilson go out there.
Yeah, I think. See, the thing is, Detroit actually wants to win. I think they have a solid chance to be frisky next year.
Yeah.
So maybe not.
I actually could see him like randomly winding up in Portland or LA and averaging 14 points a game.
Part of the Damian Lillard trade, sign-in trade? Question.
There we go. God. I'm going to move on now that you're doing this. At least you didn't say a buyout this time, so it could be worse. My last low light, February 10, 2022. Do you remember? I don't remember any dates, so I'm hoping that you don't remember one too, so I don't feel like
February 10th. Did Giannis get hurt or something?
No, the Bucks lose 131-107 to the Phoenix Suns and lose Pat Connaughton to injury. And I think that was, the loss felt terrible. Because this is, again, one of those games where, you know, the Bucks were not having the greatest run. It's like, oh, they have a chance to really prove themselves. You know, they were losing to some bad teams, I think. And we were like, oh, they're just not trying. And we'll see them try against Phoenix. They're going to get up for this game. And they get absolutely smacked. Phoenix looks like the much better team. After a pretty competitive first quarter, the Suns just run away with this thing in Phoenix. And you lose Pat Connaughton. We find out, I think like 4 days later, that we actually get the real injury report that he got surgery and he's going to be out. And then that's a whole nother deal of like, oh, how long is Pat going to be out? Is Pat going to be right for the playoffs? They just got rid of Dante. We needed this depth. This is brutal. That to me felt like, I think the Dante trade was good process. We saw clearly later that getting Ibaka was not the right move. And this would have been the time when you could have really used him in the regular season. And it was not a good feeling at all. So I think that injury plus, you know, getting absolutely walloped by a team that went on to be complete frauds in the playoffs, not a good day.
No, it was not. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that was not fun. They were on a West Coast road trip. They actually went, they went 3-1 on that road trip, which was decent. The only loss was to Phoenix there. But yeah, you had campaign dancing in the locker room after the game. Yeah, because the Suns clearly really wanted to win this game, which credit to them. They took that revenge matchup seriously, only, by the way, to get beaten a month later in Milwaukee. By the way, which I don't think someone was out for that game. I think it was either Booker or Paul was out for that game. But yeah, that was a deflating moment. Pat Connaughton, like we talked about so much, just such a key piece to this team. And we were facing the potential of him missing out on some playoff time. We're like, oh my God, is Pat Connaughton going to be back for the playoffs? How much is he going to miss? I was concerned about his shooting because it was like his thumb on his shooting hand. And I was like, oh my goodness, is this shot going to go away? It was a lot of panic. And like you mentioned, there was a lot of panic about the Bucks' depth. Like you said, they just traded away Dante. Yeah, that was not a fun time. Not a fun time at all.
Honestly, the game the Bucks won against the Suns might have qualified too. No Booker and no Chris Paul. And it took a 41-point fourth quarter to squeak out the win. They won the fourth quarter by 9. They won the game by 10. So they go into the fourth up 1 against the Suns in Milwaukee without Booker or Paul, with all three of Drew, Chris, and Giannis playing. That was not an ideal game for the Bucks either. But at least that time they won, and I don't think anyone got hurt, which is always a plus.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, Pat, that's a good one. That's a good pull. We're done with lowlights.
We are. I have my honorable mentions. Run through those now for lowlights.
Go for it.
The first one, I feel bad calling these guys out, promising young players. December 18th, 2021, when we had to watch Darius Garland, Jared Allen, Lauri Markkanen, etc. absolutely pummel the Javonte Smart, Mamu, Jordan Wara, Boogie, George Hill, Thanasis, Pat, and Shemi Ojale Bucks. Javonte Smart played 44 and a half minutes, scored 4 points, shot 2 for 14. Mamu plays 42 minutes. Wara plays 41 minutes. 25 for TA. It was just tough to watch. And we hopped on playback for the end of this for some reason. I don't remember why.
We did it at halftime because they were just getting beat so bad. We're like, we need to talk about this.
I remember later regretting that decision because I was like, this was not that fun.
It was fun to see those guys really get a shot. But yeah, they just got murdered by the Cavs. It was not fun.
Yeah. At least the second time the Cavs murdered the Bucks, it was because the season was over and they were resting. This one, they just like ran out of players basically and decided to punt a game. And I really hope we can get through the next season without so many injuries. And this was a heavy COVID protocols time as well. I really, you know, external signs not great on that front, but I really hope we can not have this much trouble getting through the next season.
For sure. For sure. Did you have any other honorable mentions for the lowlights?
Yes, I have one more. And I remembered it actually looking at a box score for a different game. DeAndre Bembry injury. This was
that's tough.
Ended up really, I think, costing more than maybe it seemed at the time after Chris gets hurt as well. Just having that forward option would have been really nice. But yeah, I think that it was tough to see because he had barely gotten to play. He had a good relationship, it seemed like, with Bud, and would have been a very useful guy to have around. Ultimately, I think ends up becoming the Rajon Tucker roster spot, and Tuck wasn't able to get much shine, which makes sense coming in right at the end of the year. But I think Bembry could have been an important player at some points, and really tough to see a young guy on a very good team with maybe a real role lose the rest of the season to injury like that. So get well soon, DeAndre Bembry.
Yeah, get well soon, especially the manner in which it happened. Just a wild closeout on a three.
Yeah.
Where it's like no one else is trying, and he's like, man, yep, I'm going to go try and do this. And then he ends up getting lost for the season and a lot of next season too. That's super unfortunate. Get well soon, DeAndre.
Yeah. That's the end of my honorable mentions for lowlights. So now we can finish up with the highlights.
Yeah. I'll go and say my highlight first.
I wonder if they're the same.
Mine is February 15th, 2022.
I don't think so.
Giannis has a 50-point game against the Pacers.
Oh, nice. I'd forgotten about this one.
It was a random regular season game in February. He had missed the last game. I think it was just like a knee soreness thing. And the Bucks end up getting just destroyed in that game. Not destroyed, but they lose to Portland by 15. Against a team that didn't have Damian Lillard, CJ had already been traded.
They got destroyed. That was one of the most that one could have been a low light too. That game stunk.
Yeah, especially at home too. And that's the game after the Phoenix game where they got destroyed. But Giannis comes back, responds in a massive way, puts up 50 points on 21 shots, 17 of 21 from the field, 14 of 18 from the free throw line. Also has 14 rebounds, 4 assists. Just dominant. Giannis is incredible because he finds a way to make a mundane game in February against the Indiana Pacers a highlight of the season. That's incredible.
This was an awesome game because it got one section of Bucks Twitter way too excited about Buddy Hield, who dropped 36 on the Bucks on an 8-for-12 three-point shooting. And it got us unreasonably excited about Lindell Wigginton, who played 28 minutes in this game because I think Hill was out. And 4-for-8 from the field, 3-for-6 from deep, that's right. 12 points for Lindell in a pretty good performance. Pretty solid Jordan Wara game too. Man, it's funny, some of these moments that you just do not really remember. And then you look and it's like, oh yeah.
Yeah, it's his highest scoring game of the season.
Giannis or Lindell?
Giannis. I'd assume Lindell.
I would think so as well, yeah. As well,
but Lindell. No, that was a game that stood out to me. Aside, like, I think his next highest was 47 against the Lakers back in November. So it was just it was a fun time, and yeah, it was that.
Nice. Okay, let me pull up a date for my last one. I know the moment exactly. I just need to figure out when it actually was.
It's okay, but
no, I've got it. It is bigger than this one game too. But I think saying that the date, March 14th. Bucks at Utah, Pi Day. The Bucks win in Utah, which rarely happens. It's been like 50 years or something since before jazz music was invented, it feels like. But in addition to winning in Utah, this was Brook Lopez's return game. And he wasn't great, but he could clearly move well. And I think defensively he's pretty good. Offensively, just didn't have his touch yet. And that took a couple games for him. He was 1-for-2 his first two games before 6-for-10 in his third game at the Timberwolves. But the fact that he came back, he looked good. The Bucks win in Utah. He actually ends up playing, I think, 8 straight games before taking a day off for rest, which did not expect that one. I really thought he was going to be a lot more hit or miss early. But he comes in, plays about 15 minutes twice, and then is pretty much 20 minutes the rest of the way with only 2 games off, one of them being game 82 that basically no one played. But just seeing Brook come back and look healthy, I remember, plus the win in Utah, it just felt like, all right, maybe this squad is going to be ready in time for the playoffs. And then just a couple weeks later is that epic week against Philly, against Brooklyn, both games on the road, by the way. Brooke coming back was, I remember we were so excited for like a month and a half beforehand at the idea of this. Like, we got to see the big fella. We're missing him so much. Seeing him play again absolutely ruled.
The first time they were in a drop defense, I was just like, it made me feel some things, you know?
Such a funny coming around moment after all the complaining we did about it in previous years.
Yeah. And just that, the moments where it's like Brooks back and they actually win in Utah, those two things coming together. Yeah. That's definitely a highlight. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're doing this. I know. Back a lot this of things good. We forgot about.
And I will say, If you have one that we haven't said, share that with us. Yeah, share that. Share the highlights and lowlights that stand out to you, because it is we have to start doing this annually, because this is fun.
It is fun. I agree. Did you have any honorable mentions for your highlights?
I have one, and we kind of covered it before, but just the momentum when they did have Boogie and were playing him. There is a sick Wes Matthews mixtape, I think like Digital Crunch Rap put together. If I'm getting that wrong, sorry to whoever did put it together. But there's a play where I think Wes dishes to Boogie or vice versa in there. And it's so hype. And they just had so many fun moments. So much big momentum and ones, everything else. A lot of missed threes, but an occasional made three. But there was just some fun times in that Boogie ride. So I'd say just the general Boogie momentum when he played absolutely ruled.
That's right. I did have one honorable mention.
Oh, nice.
For highlights, and that is, you already mentioned this game. It's the last game of the regular season against the Cavs. April 10th, my sister's birthday, by the way.
Oh, nice.
We get Jordan Wara playing 44 minutes. We get Mamu playing 42. T.A. playing 40. Oh, my God. T.A. putting up 27 points on 14 shots. He hit a three.
Do you remember when it seemed like they were going to make a comeback for a second?
I thought they had a chance to win.
They did. They had a 1% chance, but they had a chance in the second half. They had a little momentum there.
They did. What did they?
Didn't they make the starters come back out for Cleveland?
Yeah. Oh. I think so, at least.
Or maybe they almost did. I don't remember now. But
they outscored the Cavs. Got outscored in the fourth quarter by 14 in a game that Milwaukee lost by 18.
Oh, I remember. Honestly, I think they could have hung in there, but they only had six guys, I think, played.
Six guys.
And they,
seven.
Wait, seven. Six, seven. Six. No, six, yeah. Oh, Drew played 8 seconds for his bonus. That was sick, too. But they had six guys who were actually going to play. And clearly, Bud just instructed the team to not foul because they did not contest any drives in the entire first half. So, honestly, could have been a
closer
game. Which
led to the Cavs putting up 46 points in the first quarter. Kevin Love went crazy in that first quarter. That was a fun game. Like, I'm a basketball sicko, so these type of things, like, make me happy.
Kevin Love and Lauri Markkanen combined to score 55 points in 36 minutes. That should never happen.
That was crazy. Kevin Love was getting like Klay Thompson heat checks in that quarter. It was wild. And they were going
46-20. Yeah, the Bucks won both second half quarters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they did. But just anytime TA puts up 27, it's going to be close to a highlight for me.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I figured you'd sneak TA in somewhere. That's a good time to do it.
I also realized we forgot a little bit of news as well.
Oh, what's that?
Giannis, first team all defense. Drew Holiday, second team all defense.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. That was like a week ago now, or almost a week ago. Not quite
something
a week
like
ago.
That. Yeah. Couple days.
I was pleasantly surprised Drew got in there. I was worried he was going to get snubbed. So that was cool for me.
It was nice. Giannis, again, deservedly so.
Oh, yeah.
Drew, deservedly so. I do think the rest of the roster needs to take a look at themselves and say, hey, when we have two all defense players, literally, maybe we should be a better defense because it's not in them.
Yeah.
You know, food for thought.
It would be really nice to have a backup center who you can trust defensively. And I know I'd love Boogie back, but
Hassan Whiteside.
No, if you can draft someone or sign a younger guy, just because I think Brooke will play more this season. I don't think he's going to play 82 games, nor should he. I think the Bucks probably need to put him on the Iguodala track of, you know, he plays like 25 minutes or less a lot of nights and doesn't go 110% every game. So it would be nice to have someone you can at least sort of rely on the back line. Where's my guy Bismack Biyombo at?
I was going to say, Bismack, what's he up to? Maybe he wants to get out of Phoenix.
Sounds like everyone does.
What would you think about Jay Crowder, by the way?
I wouldn't mind it. I feel like he would probably kill them with cold shooting at some point, but everyone does. So having another guy you can rely on defensively would be nice.
Switchable too.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? Let's table this. I kind of want to do for a pod, like, what do the Bucks actually need? And whether it's specific players or archetypes or moves or whatever else, I think that could be a fun pod. So that can be another, maybe next week's off-season-y podcast. We'll dive into that. But before we get to next pod or even the outro, you probably thought I forgot. But it's time for Choose Your Fighter.
I did think you forgot.
I know you did. You don't believe in me, but it's okay.
I forgot.
I hope you've seen at least one episode, because I picked three shows. Three good to watch, just like put on and have on comedies. I left off The Office. It's too divisive. I don't want anyone's office takes. I don't care. I enjoy it, but everyone on the internet has a terrible take about The Office. So I left it off. Here are your options. Always Sunny, Parks and Rec, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. It's a tough one. It's a tough one. That's three hitters. It is. Have you seen all three?
Yes.
Good. Perfect. Okay. This will be good then.
Always Sunny less than the other two, though.
Oh, wow. Oh, you've seen it less, you mean?
Yes.
And you're probably also ranking it less because you've seen it less, I would assume. Oh, that's tough.
Is that something I should watch?
Oh, yeah. I think...
Where can I watch that?
Hulu?
Hulu? Okay.
Hulu, I want to say, has it, but...
I don't even know if I have Hulu. We'll see.
I think it's somewhere else, too. Everything's moving around now, but I think Always Sunny, it's important to note, if you try to start it from the beginning... The first season is the worst. The second season, they introduce Danny DeVito, and he adds a whole new... It's honestly, it's Park and Rec's like. I think Parks and Rec, whole different show after Ben and Chris arrive, which I think also was their season two. So both of those shows, I think, really start slow, but then they pick it up big time.
Yeah, you had Mark Brandanowitz in the first season.
I like Mark, but there's no way he would have been good for any more episodes.
No.
Like, I think they got him out at the perfect time.
Yeah, and especially adding like Rob Lowe and Adam Scott.
Adam Scott, yeah.
Yeah. Just the thing is, that's tough because like all three are great. This is a good one. This is a really good one. I'm gonna have to come up with something good for next time.
This will be a good poll. We forgot to do the last one as a poll. We'll have to do this one.
Oh yeah, for sure. I might lean 9-9, but that just feels
that's like a fair take.
I've watched Parks and Rec more. I've done that more.
I think personally, in order of funniness, not which is the best show, it's for me Always Sunny, 9-9, Parks and Rec. I don't think Parks and Rec is as funny as the other two shows, but it is. It's very comforting. It's a very good show to put on. I think I lean Always Sunny. The highs are very high. Some extremely problematic moments from a sitcom that pushes the edges and has and started such a long time ago. But the highs are really tremendous. Like there's some bits that come together and you're just like, oh my God, this is crazy. But 9-9, honestly, I think 9-9 might be second. 9-9 is really good.
Yeah, 9-9 is fantastic. It's so funny. Like, just, like, the quick quips they have, the quick hitters, and plus, like, the overall plot of every episode.
The cast is really deep, too.
The cast is awesome.
Yeah.
I think I might lean 9-9.
Parks and Rec is really good, though.
Fun story. When I was an undergrad, during, like, the summer, I would work in, like, a research lab. And there was, like, conference rooms available for people to, like, rent out so they could have, like, meetings. Like, you have to sign it out. We would sign out the conference room during lunch, like around noon. And everyone in our lab, plus our PI, would just come in. We would eat our lunch. We would hook up my laptop to the massive screen and just watch Parks and Rec during lunch, episode by episode. And it was awesome every day.
Hell yeah. We like that.
We had to stop renting out the conference room, though, because people got mad.
I'm reading something that surprised me. That's why I'm distracted here.
Oh, what is it?
11 minutes ago, an article went up from Christian Winfield at the NY Daily News that says the Nets are outright unwilling to give Kyrie Irving a long-term extension.
Okay.
Durant and the Nets front office have not spoken since they were swept out of the first round. And yeah, they're not going to give Kyrie the long-term extension. Is he free agency eligible?
He has a player option.
Oh, him and Harden both could hit free agency if they want to.
Yep.
I think it might be another crazy offseason. I wouldn't expect the Bucks in on either of those guys.
No.
If Kyrie wants to take the taxpayer MLE, though?
No.
I mean...
come on, Ty. Come on.
Listen, man. Taxpayer MLE.
Listen, I understand, okay?
I mean, you know how gerrymandered we are. I don't think we're going to get that mandate anytime soon. Listen. Hey, I'm not happy about it, but...
You're not wrong.
I wouldn't enjoy rooting for Kyrie the person.
But as your backup point guard?
Oh, I think Kyrie, Drew, Chris, Pat, Giannis are that's your closing lineup against a lot of teams. That's a crazy lineup. Now I'm full Rohan territory. That's not happening. But he may be going somewhere else, so we'll see.
Where though?
I've seen the Clippers sign and trade, and they take back like one of their non-PG Kawhi guys,
like Norm Powell or Roko?
Probably Norm. Yeah.
Yeah, it'd have to be Norm, right? That's interesting.
Clippers are nuts. The Clippers would go for something that crazy.
The Clippers are nuts, but in like the best way possible.
They're spend happy. That's for damn sure. And that trade would take it up another level.
Yo, Steve Ballmer, buy the Bucks, please.
Almost, but I think he would have moved him. Was the issue?
He would have. He would have.
Wouldn't have been worth it.
I mean, buy them now, maybe, if you want to.
You can't own two.
Can you not?
No.
Why not?
Because you'd clearly favor one and like,
sell the Clippers.
Oh, yeah, we're going to trade. Imagine if Steve Ballmer buys the Bucks.
We're going to trade Giannis.
Yeah. Giannis for Marcus Morris.
That'd be wild.
That's why. Because, of course, yeah, he's going to own a team in L.A. and Milwaukee, and I'm sure he's going to treat them equally.
Nah, sell the Clippers team while it's high.
I mean, he should sell the Clippers. The Clippers are constantly a sinking ship. So I think that would be a good move. Yeah, I think it's probably going to be
They broke ground, didn't they?
Yeah, no, they did.
Yeah, in Inglewood. We're way off.
Yeah. It's time to wrap. I'm also I'm 1 minute late for a meeting, so sorry.
Oh my god, Ty, you didn't even tell me about this. I know. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Eurostep here on the Eurostep Podcast Network and the Blue Wire Podcast Network. If you did enjoy the show, make sure you are subscribed on your podcast platform, Chase. Leave a 5-star rating wherever you can. Make sure you're subscribed to the YouTube, subscribe to the Substack. As Pat Connaughton said, make sure you protect kids, not guns. I'm tired of people getting murdered.
Hell yeah.
Please do something about that and be outraged. Continue to be outraged because this is an epidemic. It is a problem. It is a public health crisis that kids are getting murdered. People are getting murdered. Pod Random. We will talk to you next time.